Father, make us the masters of ourselves that we might become the servants of others. Take our minds and think with them. Take our lips and speak with them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. I was about 7 years old, and the carnival was in town. The owners of the carnival were from my hometown, which at that time was in the southwest of Iowa. And every year during the 4th of July and a few days either before or after, they would come back to Lenox to do maintenance on the rides and to rest. At the end of the week, they would set up the carnival on Main Street for all of us. Well, this was the year that Glenna North, Mary Shaw, my two best friends, and I were old enough to ride the Ferris wheel without grown-ups. And so we got our tickets and we stood in line. We climbed into the car and settled in for the short ride. Mary was in the middle and Glenna and I sat on either side of her. We were just feeling on top of the world. The ride made a jerking start backwards and up we rose. As we got to the top, we could see the whole town spread out in front of us. It was just some incredible sight for us little people. Our stomachs leaped and we squealed with delight as we started down the first turn, the car swinging with every move. And then the car creaked a little. Well, Glenna and I started talking about how if the bolts came loose, you know, we would just take off flying and we'd land on the ice cream shop across the street from the funeral home. And we just kept pouring it on for a spin or two until poor Mary was crying and screaming to get off the ride. Well, when the operator stopped the ride to let Mary run off to her mom at the bottom of the ramp, he quickly locked us back in and off we went. Glenna and I weren't scared. We were having a great time. We were full of ourselves, so smug about being more brave than Mary. We were just two little seven-year-old girls who hot thought they'd hit the jackpot. The ride operator, though, was on to us. Or perhaps my dad may have had some influence on him. Anyway, as others were let off the ride, we just kept riding, smiling and waving to our family and friends down below as we crested each turn. He was letting people off, and he was bringing people on, but he didn't do anything with us. Well, it wasn't long before we began to get anxious. So we began talking to the operator as we passed by. You know, isn't it time for us to get off? Do you think our parents are missing us? Hey, mister, let us off. But no, he kept ignoring us. It was as though we were invisible. For 20 long minutes more, we rode that Ferris wheel, and most of that time we were pretty uneasy, then frightened, and then truly scared that we had been forgotten. Now, mind you, I'm in the age range where a couple of years after this particular summer, the Kingston Trio released their hit record, The MTA, and it's a song about poor old Charlie who could never get off the train. And back then, I wondered if they got the idea for that song from my Ferris wheel ride. But as we rode, I began to feel totally helpless. And that's when I spied Mary standing on solid ground with her parents and mine. That is the moment when I realized what I had done to my sweet and kind friend, how I had thoughtlessly frightened her and spoiled her good time. That Ferris wheel experience is my first real memory of learning what it feels like to be a victim of me. Life is kind of that way. In those moments when all of our life is right and good and the excitement is high, or all the world is glitz and glamour, or we're in the spotlight, or when we're in the midst of feeling self-satisfied and gloating about our charitable work and our zeal threatens to crush those around us, isn't it in these moments when something comes along and stops us in our tracks to starkly pronounce, "Wake up, this is not about you"? Our friend and my favorite apostle, Peter, is in this situation in our gospel reading today. In this story, Peter is at the height of his spiritual experience, the equivalent of a Curcio, Kairos, or happening weekend, or maybe an audience with the Pope, or a moment with the Dalai Lama, or some similarly exciting spiritual experience. Just think about it. He has been invited by his rabbi, the man he'd identified just a few lines earlier as the Christ, to go up the mountain with just a couple of close friends. And once this elite group gets there, Peter finds himself in the light of the glory of God. He sees Jesus transfigured, and he sees and hears Elijah and Moses. Oh man, he wants more than a selfie with them to post on Instagram. He wants them to stay there all together and never go home. What started out as a time for following and learning from Jesus has turned into Peter reveling in his personal joyful time. In Peter's mind, he is the central figure in this setting, and it has become his own special moment. Notice Peter is completely ignoring his friends, James and John. And then God interrupts. God's in the interrupting business. In this moment, God, in the form of a bright cloud with his thundering voice, well, I assume it's a thundering voice like James Earl Jones, but God says, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." I want you to pull out your bulletin real quick and look at that gospel reading. I mean, I'm serious. Look at it. Y'all think I'm joking when I say do those things. At the end of "listen to him," there's an exclamation point there. This is not some little sweet "listen to him." This is your mama saying, "Listen to me," right? Listen to him. God is essentially stopping the show and shouting, "Hush up, Peter. Put a lid on it. You are missing the point. There is something more important going on here. This is not about you." So, what is going on? Well, when we read this same story in chapter 9 of Luke, what Elijah, Moses, and Jesus are talking about, and the reason that Peter is there to be a witness, is Jesus' approaching death. It is a time to give confidence to these apostles in the divinity of Jesus. It is a holy moment, but not Peter's moment. Peter is so human, just like he's overcome by the awesomeness, so unaware of anything but his own ideas, so wanting to do the right thing, so wanting to be what he thinks is expected of him, totally self-focused. He's overwhelmed by the glory and the presence of these holy people, and he reacts purely emotionally, without really giving this event his full attention, listening, observing, and thinking things through. And so he is abruptly interrupted, not punished, but interrupted by God. You see, Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John to the mountain to prepare them to be witnesses to the love, forgiveness, and grace that are given to us freely by God who loves us and is always with us. And God wants Peter, James, and John to learn these lessons well. God and Jesus are depending on these apostles to be able to share this good news. And so God stops Peter to reorient him, to prepare him to listen to Jesus. Because what happens in the next chapter, chapter 18 of Matthew, is where the story continues as Jesus is teaching the apostles and disciples how to live in God's dream in community. So it was important, essential, for God to interrupt Peter on the mountain while he was in this state of selfish indulgence. If the message of faith, love, forgiveness, and grace was to have any hope of surviving in Peter's memory after Jesus' suffering and death, God wanted to get Peter's full attention so that Peter could recognize the true gift that he was receiving. Barbara Brown Taylor wrote in her book, Learning to Walk in the Dark, quote, I need to remember how much my set ideas get in my way. While I am looking for something large, bright, and unmistakably holy, God slips something small, dark, and apparently negligible in my pocket. How many treasures have I walked by because they did not meet my standards? End quote. Only with this reorientation could Peter see what God had prepared for him. He needed to be interrupted, to become open to learning from Jesus the deeper lessons of faith in times of devastation and how to live in a loving community. I needed to be interrupted from the cruel thoughtlessness toward my friend Mary and learn to be more kind. We can all benefit from being interrupted from our self-centeredness from time to time, to become more aware of our own thoughts and behaviors and how they affect others. Lent arrives this week. It is the season of the church year for each of us to intentionally set aside some time each day to pay attention to God's interruptions and listen to Jesus. Those with ears to hear, let them hear.